The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. May grace, mercy, and peace be upon us from God, our divine parent, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved community, as we are gathering in the glow of Easter's light, we open up our hearts once more to the magnificent message of resurrection. Through John's Gospel, we delve into the sacred story of a familiar character, a man we might know as Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas is a disciple whose journey can in some ways mirror our own search for certainty and truth amidst doubt and deep uncertain times. I can imagine Thomas's friends are so excited. They've just seen the resurrected Christ, and they're whispering the news of this encounter. Mary and the other women who found the tomb empty are singing praise that their rabbi has returned. And yet, Thomas struggles to accept their testimony because, unlike his friends, Thomas doesn't get to have that initial encounter with his teacher. He doesn't get that same physical, tangible moment with Jesus that might have assured him that his teacher had really come back. Imagine he would have been a little jealous. I would have been a little jealous. I would have like FOMO, the fear of missing out. I've been like, "Oh my gosh, what did I miss?" Doubt covers his heart as he longs to know the resurrected Christ intimately, to believe in the promise of new life amidst grief, and to grasp that God still dwells among them. Thomas longs to believe wholeheartedly that this new and abundant life is real. And I have a deep sympathy for Thomas. Like many of us, we yearn for certainty, truth, and justice. And after witnessing the violent death of his beloved teacher, Thomas is looking at life's complexities and wrestling with doubt. Like we too often seek solace through not the unknown, but we like to seek solace through what we can control, through clear-cut answers and labels and definitions. We too are often tempted to categorize the world into simple explanations of what we know for certain and what yet remains unknown. Yet Jesus, in boundless grace, dismantles those barriers, those labels, those binaries we create, like he does for Thomas, inviting us all, instead of these stark categories, to embrace a beautiful woven tapestry of faith. And like I said, I deeply resonate with Thomas. It's as if in his grief, he is unable to welcome in the amazing wonder that the resurrection has taken place. And it's my belief that God, when God made us in God's image, planted in us seeds in our hearts that we were born with a capacity for wonder, awe, and curiosity. I think of children and their childlike wonder and love and fascination and openness towards the world. It's not just about talking when I think about the eclipse of scientifically, how does it happen, but also the sheer amazement that we live in this world where these sorts of cosmic things happen around us. I believe we are born with that wonder in us. But so often in life, we are conditioned, sometimes subconsciously and sometimes explicitly, to remove that wonder out of our lives, instead to seek real answers, to in some ways even adopt a cynicism towards what is real and what is possible to be imagined in the world. Even though we as adults are still imaginative beings with big feelings, with questions, with passions, we can often feel at odds with the need to present ourselves palatably, to not take up too much space with our joy, to seem professional or put together. It is easy in life to become this way, to put ourselves in boxes, as we're often taught to seek certainty in an uncertain world. And in many ways, there are some real, tangible reasons why this transition out of wonder takes place. So much of life is filled with complications, uncertainties, grief, and loss. We live in a broken system where we seem to have no problem abandoning the model of life we see in Acts, where all is shared, and instead practice taking from the least of these so that the greatest continue to hoard resources. In many ways, this system is a painful one. So why should Thomas have had hope? Why should Thomas have wondered what was possible? Like Thomas, many of us can find ourselves with some healthy skepticism towards the reality of our worlds. Thomas might have asked, "Is my teacher really back?" But we might ask, "Is peace really possible? Is safety for the children in our world a reality? Is financial stability, health, love, freedom real things or just words we say? Are these ideas and imaginative possibilities possible in such a broken world?" We might ask ourselves, when will we ever address the ills of our world, from gun violence to climate change to the safety and health of women? Like Thomas, if someone is running around shouting, "Oh my gosh, it's gonna be okay. The Messiah has returned. We're going to be all right," I think I would be a little skeptical too. And yet, the world, brimming with mystery and possibility, was beckoning Thomas to reconnect with wonder. Sometimes it's easy to shame Thomas for his doubt. But in our gospel text today, I really don't see what Jesus does as shaming him. Instead, Jesus calmly and lovingly gives Thomas that physical presence he needed, allowing him to have that wonder open back up. Our reading today reminds us that Jesus' resurrection lovingly invites us out of our doubts, out of our need for certainty, and instead towards wonder. And this invitation to wonder isn't rose-visioned or idealistic, but it's built on the foundation that though we have witnessed great suffering, we are also invited into a deep relationship with Christ, who is making things new. Because, beloved people, we know that our faith in Christ is one that you can't just draw neat boxes around and define with simple words and human logic. No, Jesus offers blessings to those in our reading today so that we may connect back to our childlike sense of wonder, letting ourselves be in awe of the possibility of Christ's resurrection in a world that would like us to forget this new life and abundance in God. Jesus, through the resurrection, beckons us to embrace the unknown, to dance in the in-between spaces where faith thrives and barriers dissolve. He reminds us that faith is not a destination, but a lifelong journey. A journey marked by wonder and openness and a willingness to embrace the messiness of life. And just as Thomas needed tangible proof of Christ's resurrection, so too do we yearn for signs and assurances in our own lives. But Jesus gently and tenderly reminds us that faith transcends the tangible, that it dwells in the spaces between doubt and belief, between certainty and uncertainty. I am reminded of a songwriter I love as I was writing this sermon, Allie Dineen, and her beautiful song entitled, I Knew How. I'll read you some of the text from this song now. She writes, I knew how to love before I knew how to hide. I knew how to love before I knew how to lie. I knew how to laugh before I knew how to fear. I knew how to laugh before I knew to disappear. I tried to guard myself from all the pain I had ever known. So I learned to hide away from everyone I had ever loved. I knew how to sing before I knew how to speak with violence. I knew how to sing before I knew how to scream in silence. I knew how to love before I feared it would break me open. But I found I can't heal the wounds I've got if they go unspoken, so break it open. Jesus breaks us open. In our longing for truth and justice, in our quest for meaning and purpose, Jesus meets us where we are, breaking down the barriers of our hearts and inviting us into a deeper, more profound relationship with Him. Jesus calls us to be a community of resilient faith, a community that welcomes the messiness of Christ's presence in our lives. As we reflect on the transformative power of Christ's resurrection, we draw inspiration from the tenacious communion of saints in our faith tradition who have gone before us, those who asked questions, those who wondered, those who dreamt of the possibility of God's kingdom dwelling among us, because we know that Jesus isn't interested in our perfect performance. Jesus comes to us when we find ourselves so broken, and there the resurrection sings its truth to us. We continue to practice our openness towards the resurrection, and even when we are uncertain, we recognize that lack of answers does not mean lack of faith. Some of the strongest leaders in faith I know don't suppose to have all the answers, but instead bear witness to Jesus breaking down barriers, breaking down their hearts, and welcoming all within. In the face of doubt and uncertainty, we cling to the promise of the resurrection, trusting in God's boundless love and grace. We, like Thomas, embrace this messy and beautiful journey of faith, knowing that in Christ all things are possible. And so we say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.